Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and do I have an amazing show for you today. But like always, before I go ahead and introduce today's guest, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the show, be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show, because the information we share, what we learn, your friends definitely need to hear about it. So find someone, whether it's your mom, your coworker, your roommate, your spouse, even if you're in the middle of an argument, the Roundtable Talk Show is the perfect way to bring people together. So while you're going ahead and introducing the show to your network, I'm going to let you know about an important factor that I think you should hear. This week's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show is supported by Free Lunch Coffee. Free Lunch Coffee is on a mission to end hunger from the lives of underprivileged children. There are children out there who really need your support. Yet it can be difficult and intimidating to know where to start and how to help. When you buy one bag of Free Lunch Coffee, you are providing 10 meals to children in need, and Free Lunch Coffee will donate 50% of the money earned to end hunger in the lives of young children. How cool is that? Beyond a fantastic cause, Free Lunch Coffee has great coffee that is specialty grade, certified organic, and tastes amazing. Use coupon code ROUNDTABLE at checkout for a 10% discount at freelunchcoffee.com. That's discount code, two words, ROUNDTABLE. So while you're going ahead and ordering your coffee, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest, Mr. Shikhar Goli. Shikhar is originally from Delhi, India, but currently lives in Paris. He is an engineer by background with 6 years on industry experience in marketing, operations, and consulting. He came to Paris to pursue his MBA. He has worked in multiple cultures and countries, Myanmar, France, Germany, and of course, India. He lost his job due to COVID and started his own venture called thestrategystory.com, which is becoming quite popular among business readers. Apart from his work, he is a certified deep sea diver, a poet, and a great chef of Indian cuisine. Good morning, Shikhar. How are you?
Thank you for having me on this show. It is great to be like among such people. And I'm totally excited today. I'm like very happy to be here. I'm very excited about this show now.
He said now. You weren't so sure before, right?
No, after meeting such amazing people, I'm sure that I'm going to learn a lot in the next 1 hour. More than saying anything, I think I'm going to learn a lot.
That's the purpose of the show. I learn a lot. Sometimes I tell people I do this show for selfish reasons, because where else can I just walk up to somebody like you and be like, hey, tell me how you do this. Tell me why you do this. So I'm a lifelong learner. So I was interested in your bio, but one of the things that stood out to me the most is the whole losing your job in COVID aspect. And when we talk about it around the world, we kind of talk in generalities. We say people are losing their jobs and, you know, people are struggling. But to humanize it, can you tell us a little bit about your journey?
Yeah. So after my MBA, I was working in Frankfurt with a consulting firm. But then because of the hiring freeze, I was I was laid off from. So I came back to Paris and I had two options, either keep sulking about it that I lost my job, and or I can basically do something of my own. And for very long, I wanted to start something of my own. So I started after a month. I'm not a software engineer. I learned everything and I started a website called thestrategystory.com. Initially in my MBA, I realized that MBA is full of business jargons. Like it's just a fancy way of doing business. That's it. This is what I feel. So everything in the business in MBA, it's explained very in a complicated manner. So I thought, let me start a personal blog and where I can explain my learnings from the MBA in a simple manner. So I started the blog in July, and then suddenly everyone started to approach me that, Shikhar, we loved your concept and this is something very unique. Nobody has started. Can we also write on the blog? So soon we started, our LinkedIn page become famous. We have around 19,000 followers on LinkedIn. So people love that part. And now I have a team of 50 writers, and 50 writers are writing on the platform about the business strategy. So about the job thing, I had like at that time I could have like involved myself in just like I'm still like looking for opportunities, but I'm now focusing entirely on the strategystore.com because when I lost the job, I thought that this is the time, I took COVID as an opportunity. Maybe this is the opportunity where like I can start something of my own. When I can have time, I can completely give into this. Because when I was working for 6 years in the industry, I realized that when you're working in the corporate, you hardly have any time to start something of your own. So basically, I took this time to start something which I wanted to do for a long time, and then it's going very well.
I'm glad to hear it's going very well. One of the things that you mentioned was that because your blog was very unique, it just basically took off. So from what I understood, it was business success strategies, correct? Yeah. So is that the unique model that you brought forth?
Yeah. So basically what we did was, we took the business strategy form, like we took the different brand stories, like suppose there is a brand and there's a strategy that they have adopted. So there are some consulting firm websites and there are some academic websites that are explaining it, but they're explaining it such a complicated manner that it's sometimes difficult for a new entrant, like a new learner to understand about the business jargons. So what I do is like, I understand those. So I convert them in such a simple language and such a fun to read story. So I make strategy as if you're learning something. What I'm saying is that I'm giving you a story, a bedtime story, read it to have fun. And meanwhile, you can learn something also. So that is why. So people never took it as a source of learning, academic website. They always took it as a source of fun stories. They just read it. And meanwhile, they also learn it.
No, I think that's very interesting. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to come back to you, but I'm going to introduce our next guest. In the meantime, before I come back to you, I want a story on Ash Sharifa, on the brand, on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Can we get like a 30-second Sharifa Hardy entertainment story in a couple of minutes? If I give you about 15 minutes, can we do that?
Yeah, sure. I'll think about it.
We need some creative, you know, I'm doing a lot running for California State Senate. So I need something to sound fun. I want to be the fun person at the party, but I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Miss Jane Stoller. Jane, AKA Organized Jane, is a Swiss Canadian life biz organizer, speaker, author, productivity expert, and university instructor whose passion is in decluttering spaces and organizing business processes. Stoller's global reach has helped thousands gain clarity and get organized with her critically acclaimed books, Organizing for Your Lifestyle and Decluttering for Dummies, Wiley Publishing. Additionally, Stoller has created a sought-after business booster course that helps business owners cut through the clutter and gain back their time. Good morning, Jane. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. I read your bio and it was very interesting because I felt like you kind of span two worlds, that there is the in-person declutter organized aspect of it. But I was so intrigued by the processes in the businesses because, you know, my background is companies like, you know, my first job was TWA, Cheap Tickets, American Express, but larger companies who had processes and procedures. And I feel that most small companies or entrepreneurs, they lose out because they don't go into it initially creating, you know, they're just all over the place. What are your thoughts, Jay?
Well, that's exactly why I did it, because I worked for large companies too and very much in corporate. And then my last few roles were really on consulting, making unprofitable business profitable, putting processes in place. And then I really wanted to work with entrepreneurs and people that I cared about. And I really liked my branding and my lifestyle clients. So I wanted to combine that. And entrepreneurs, a lot of them don't have the 6 steps to organize the back end of your business. You are an entrepreneur. You focus on your passion. I want you to get in front of your clients and do your best, but you also have to have a simple process to kind of keep organized.
Do you feel that your clients sometimes may fight you on implementing the process once you have created it? Because sometimes we give them these wonderful ideas and this is the way it should work and this is the way it has to be done. And then you follow up and it's like they've gone right back to the way they've always done it.
Well, I found in corporate, when you have a consulting teams come in and, you know, provide recommendations, they're very lengthy and complex and we give a lot of work on that, but they don't necessarily do it. But now working with entrepreneurs, they actually, it's giving them time to work on their business versus in it. I'm holding them accountable, and they actually do it because it makes sense to them. It's simple, it's efficient, it's getting their product or service to their customer more efficiently, so they actually keep doing it.
Why are you so passionate about it though? Because you are passionate, I could tell.
Oh yeah, I don't know. When I was 6 years old, they say at 6 to 8, I've done a lot of research on organizing and decluttering. And that's when kids start, you know, showing these tendencies to be organized or disorganized. And for me, I started very young organizing, you know, even my pets, everything. And a Swiss background.
How do you organize pets? Wait, let's go back a little bit. Like, I don't even understand that. Like, the little fish had to be in order.
Well, I grew up on a dairy farm in rural Canada. Oh, wow. So we had a lot of animals and pet cats. I probably had about 50, and I would always try to organize them by size, but they would never stay put. So it was just, it's always been in my DNA. I don't know. I'm a bit odd. And I'm Swiss. Switzerland is a very organized country. So that background, and it really became my passion, and I devalued my passion for a long time. Even in corporate, I didn't think organizing could be a business or it wasn't a skill. But now I'm just really, it's my own business, and I know that I'm helping people, so I'm even more passionate about it now.
Well, help me, because I have a question for you. This is one of those shows where I hope the family is not listening, but I tend to believe that this could be generational, right? Because my mom had my mom had 8 brothers and sisters, right? So it's 9 of them. So as a child, she never had enough things, mm-hmm. right? Now my mother is a high executive, large company, you know, has a lot of things. So now she has, I'm like, mom, like you have stuff for days. So I see it's like something, maybe when she was 8 or 9, when she didn't have enough. So now as an adult, she wants everything. And I know you're not a therapist, but have you seen this when you're organizing?
Oh yes, 100%. And I even reference it a lot in my books. I talk, not to give a history lesson, but like our grandmothers going up through the Depression, of course, keeping everything. And then World War II actually brought in consumerism for North America in terms of getting houses and keeping up with the Joneses and bigger houses. And now this stuff has, like, even the difference between Europe and North America in terms of buying stuff. Like, look at the offices from, you know, a Swiss, or if, you know, you worked in Frankfurt, I was just hearing the other guests, versus our offices in North America. So it's generational, and also where you grew up.
So where is it now? Like, what, as a society, as a people, are we the society that's holding on to everything, or society?
We are just totally cluttered. We are mentally cluttered. Now we're physically cluttered because our spaces, and we go to Costco's and Walmart's and Target's and these big box stores in North America, and we still have big homes and want more and more. The quality of stuff has gone down, so we have to keep replacing. It's gotten less expensive. And also we are digitally cluttered. So our computers are now also cluttered. So we are in a big mess right now in terms of being cluttered.
Well, we're going to talk about that because I definitely have more questions for you. But I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest, Ms. Deborah Boggs. Deborah is the co-founder of DNS Professional Coaching. Deborah works with interesting, talented, and successful executives from all over the globe to equip them with the tools they need to advance in the modern job market. Deborah holds a Master of Science in Management, a Bachelor of Arts in Sociology, and an Associate of Science in Labor Studies. She is also a certified digital branding strategist through Career Thought Leaders. Good morning, Deborah. How are you?
Great. Good morning, Sharifa. Thanks so much for the warm introduction and for inviting me to the show.
You are so welcome. I'm going to ask you some questions about organizing and cluttering. I know that wasn't on your bio, but I'm just in this, like, where is the world right now? And I love to ask professionals, what are your thoughts?
You know, I would love to actually dovetail on some of the things Jane said. And Jane, I would love to have a conversation with you because I actually went through the process of owning way too much stuff. No, that's not why I'm here today, but went through the process of owning way too much stuff and then minimalizing a few years ago and downsizing our just things by about 75% and sold our house and moved to a much smaller place on the ocean and just, you know, really changed our lifestyle through minimalizing and simplifying our lives. So definitely an evangelist for that. It's still something I struggle with every day. I'm not naturally an organized person, but working on it all the time.
Did you find a shift mentally when you made that change to minimalize? And did you see an effect in your business and in your coaching?
Yeah, you know, I do think it affects my business in a way that, you know, with, I used to be one of those people that had like just stacks of stuff all over my desk, right? Of just, you know, here's paperwork here and here's this and things like that. And it just, there was stuff everywhere. And now I've really shifted to my desk. It needs to be very clean. My workspace needs to be clean because I need to have a clear mind to do my best work. Mm-hmm. And I can't do that if there's like stacks of undone things sitting everywhere. So everything is digital. I don't print anything out. So, you know, my desk is, you know, my laptop and extra screen. I do keep a paper to-do list, but everything else, you know, I need calm space to be able to do work. And it really did kind of affect, I think, the quality of my work and just the ability to be able to focus on one thing or another.
Yeah, no, that's very interesting because, you know, I have a lot of friends, especially one of my good friends, Dawn Lane, who's a master feng shui expert. And she's always coming over feng shui in my house. I'm like, okay, doesn't it get complete at some point? She's like, no, we got to do this and we got to do that. But I'm like, okay, I'm not really into it. But I remember my grandmother growing up saying, you know, there's a place for everything and everything has a place, you know? So that was my feng shui as a kid. I don't know if you had some of those things that helped you.
Yeah, I think part of it is, you know, to my husband and I, neither of us were naturally inclined to keep a really tidy space, right? Neither of us were domestically inclined, I would say. And so I think it's just become one of those things we have to really focus on. And I found just really recently, and I've been telling everyone because it's a life changer for us, we finally decided to bring in someone to clean our house. And because I, you know, it took me way too long to realize that no one earns an, you know, a merit badge for cleaning their own home or doing all of their own work, right? Like it's okay.
They should
exactly. But you know, there's no shame in it. So anyway, my point to telling you this is that has really helped us because I have to clean before she comes, right? I have to declutter. I've got to get things organized or the house doesn't actually get clean. And so that's been helpful too, of like having an appointment on the calendar of like, okay, I have to have it done by Wednesday at noon has been really helpful for me. Because I have to be forced into those things that don't come naturally.
No, I think that's great. And I love this show, not just because I created it, but because I have absolutely no idea where it's going to go. And I'm very interested in this conversation right now, because I always think that people think that things are so separate, right? And I believe that as within, so without, you know, and if you're, how can you work and be successful, which is your focus, helping entrepreneurs and business owners become successful? How can you become successful and stuff is all over the place?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, having the background of like, I needed, you know, I speak to executives all over the world every day and I wanted my natural background, but at the same time, if there's like stuff everywhere, I will say right before we got on the call though, I drugged my Christmas tree to the other side of the room because it was right behind me and I didn't want to date the show by having a giant Christmas tree behind me.
I would have judged you. Seriously, I would have. But give us some tips real quick. Like when people come to you, what are the main suggestions and recommendations that you make to potential clients?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, my typical client is director to C-level, depending on the size of the company, you know, in all different functions and industries around the world. But I would say what a lot of people really struggle with, you know, I help create kind of that professional brand and those documents ahead of starting a job search is the majority of what I do. So whether that be an executive level resume, LinkedIn profile, you know, cover letters, your, you know, elevator pitches for interview coaching, things like that. And, you know, what I often see people need help with is really kind of the other side of the coin of what Jane does is really dig through all of someone's experience and accomplishments and really target the most impactful things that are in their career. And so sometimes, you know, we spend so much time building our resume and building our breadth of experience, and it can be really uncomfortable to let some of those things go. And so that's where I come in, is help really kind of comb through the details. I would say, you know, if anyone's looking to put their resume together or their LinkedIn profile and they're having trouble, you know, I tell people it's helpful to pick a lane. You know, you can't be everything to everyone. You know, in a brand, either it attracts or repels others, right? And so, and that's okay. And so you need to really pick what you want to be known for, what you want to be recognized for in a resume, LinkedIn profile, things like that, and really focus on that. Doesn't mean that's the only thing that you can bring to the table, but you need to let people know what you can do and, you know, easily kind of put you in a box to understand where you fit. And that's what I think a lot of people struggle with.
Yes, I hear you, and I'm gonna, you know, politely and respectfully disagree, because what I do is I hire people like you. I'm gonna say, call Deborah. Deborah can write it for you, because I'm one of those people. It also brings me back to what we were discussing earlier. I'm gonna get this house clean one way or another, but the whole aspect of hiring the cleaner, because I have this discussion with my father all the time. He says, Sharifa, you hire, like, my laundry is delivered, my food is delivered, everything is delivered, and like especially food. He's like, Sharifa, you can just go cook it yourself. I'm like, but Dad, someone went to culinary school. This was their dream. I'm just helping them live their dream, right? You know, but I'm being funny to a certain extent, but my whole thing is, I've learned the value of my time. So I'm not gonna try to research the LinkedIn and the best, I know you have been, this is your lane that you're in, and I would go to your website, whatever that is, and hire you to do my LinkedIn, which I think I'm going to do, because once again, for the eighth time this show, I'm running for California State Senate. So I needed to have the best message. So I'm going to come back to you, Deborah. I'm giving you some thoughts, you know, some time. I'm giving y'all all projects today. Shakar's over there thinking about what I need my story to be. Deborah's going to be thinking about my LinkedIn. Jane's going to come over and get me all organized. We're going to make this work. I'm going to introduce my next guest, but I want to read a comment from the audience. Manzella Marchito Lois, and I'm horrible with names, so please forgive me. I apologize in advance. But Manzella says, with many of my clients, both physical clutter and overdoing most things, over exercise, overeating, over drinking, over buying, is oftentimes looking for the sweetness in life. Finding sweetness with love and joy within relationships is often what people are looking for and not the stuff. So thank you for that comment, Manzella. I want to go ahead and introduce Mr. Chad Darwin. Chad is the founder of Darwin PR, a marketing agency specializing in brand management. Chad specializes in brand development, management, public relations, social media, influencer relations, crisis communications, company spokesperson, events, promotions, sponsorships, market intelligence, monitoring, media relations, and much more. Good morning, Chad. How are you?
Great. Doing well. How are you?
I'm excited. You got a whole list of stuff that I need.
Yeah. I'm learning a lot already on this. Because I can be kind of a clutter bug myself. And but I'm a firm believer in, you know, clearing that clutter and making like a clears your mind, you know? So I definitely, I do it a few months at a time, but I tend to gather up the stuff, you know, especially the digitally on my computer. I tend to put stuff in one folder. Mm-hmm. But it's still all junk, but I still put it, it's still there. I won't delete it. I'll just put it in another folder. That's funny.
No, but I do the same thing. That's kind of interesting because I have all these folders that are organized, and then I think I have an other file. Like, it's just, I don't know what that is, and I might need it one day. So I never even thought about digital clutter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's big. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've heard earlier, you know, I became unemployed at the pandemic. And so I started my own consulting agency. And, you know, I've wanted to do that for a while. Even since I was in college, I wanted to have my own kind of agency, and just got caught up in corporate America. I worked PR agency for about 12 years. And then I went in-house and worked for Frito-Lay, JCPenney, and Avocados from Mexico, and just got caught up in that. And then when the pandemic hit and I found myself with no work, I was like, this is a good time. I mean, it's a good time and not a good time, right? Like, just because nobody's eager to spend budget right now. Which is tough, but, you know, it's been an up and down kind of year. I definitely have clients that keep me busy, which is great. And I feel like it's keeping me relevant too. I couldn't just sit around, you know, and wait for a job to happen for me. I had to make something happen. So
I am. Here you are on the Roundtable Talk Show. Thank you for joining us. Let me just ask you this, Chad. People always say to me, Sharifa, you're strong. You just make things happen. And my response to them is always, what options did I have? And then their response to me is like, you could have done a million different things aside from, you know, starting your own business. So when you say, well, I just started my own business, there are other things that you could have done. What was that process like for you where you said, I'm ready to go out on my own?
You know, I think because I had been laid off before in the past, and I did other creative ventures while I was looking for a job, but this time around just felt right for me to use all the knowledge I have learned and all my years of experience and build something for myself, you mm-hmm. know? And as I'm sure entrepreneurs can attest to, you know, being your own boss is great. And, you know, and having, it's really making your own path, because every job I had in corporate America, I could have been fired or let go any day. None of it was ever secure. Mm-hmm. And with my own business, there is a definite security that comes with that. And so that is very attractive to me, because whether I thought my job was secure because my boss likes me, or I'm doing all these projects, I would make myself so busy with everything and be like, they could never get rid of me. Yes, they can. And they could have, you know. And when I have my own business, I don't have to think like that, you know. I think of more abundance.
I like that word, abundant. And what you were saying, you have verbalized a feeling for a lot of people. I was laid off 8 times, you know, not fired. I didn't quit. I was laid off. And some of those jobs, I was employee of the month. I had just received perfect attendance. You know, it's like, okay, I was here all day, all yeah. time, and now I don't have a job. So it's a certain feeling that your job isn't secure, even though, you know, maybe starting out, you might think it is.
Yeah, you're a name and a number at a corporation. Yes. The people making the decisions don't know you usually, you know, they're just like, cut this person, cut that, you know, and that's how it is these days. And that's just something you have to kind of, if you want to work in that environment, you just have to know that, you know.
But let me just see, we have to flip the coin over, because my focus and why I'm so passionate is because I was laid off 8 times. Mm-hmm. I've lost everything except for the clothes I had on my back. Like, that was all I had left. So I said, okay, I have to create a business so that I can create jobs to employ people. So I think as entrepreneurs, too often we stay in the entrepreneur lane, meaning the solopreneur. I'm just focused on me and not building, you know, creating jobs for other people. So at some point, shouldn't we all become that corporation that has employees?
Yes, I think that's a great goal to have. And maybe we're going to start to see, you know, corporations act differently than they have been. With people that have more diverse backgrounds on starting the business and having that experience of being laid off. You know, being laid off is weird. It's kind of like being broken up with, but you can't talk to the other person about it. It's just like a weird kind of thing. And it's very psychological too, especially mm-hmm. for, I think, a lot of us that really pride ourselves on working 9 to 5 and are just working and being a part of something. And then that's taken from you in like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's like a big deal. And I think, I know me building my company, I don't want it to be an environment like that, you know? And I think that there's measures I can take to ensure, usually probably on the back end with the finances, that things like that don't happen. You know, like large layoffs and people are really shocked and surprised, you know, that kind of thing. Hopefully Absolutely. It'll be avoided in the future.
Yes, I agree, because I love the fact that you mentioned the whole psychological aspect. I don't know if there's a book out there or someone needs to write a book about it, but I don't think that people really understand the psychological effects of being laid off, because it was never so popular before basically 2008, you know, 2002. Everybody got a job, you were at that job until you know, 30 years later, then you left the job. So usually when you leave a job, you might have gotten fired. If you've gotten fired, you know, whether you admit it to anyone else in the world, not even your priest, but you know you did something wrong. When you quit a job, you usually leave for something else. You got married, or you want to be a stay-at-home mom, you're going back to school, you're moving across the country, but it's a choice that you have made. And then exactly like you said, Chad, when you're laid off, it's like someone just said, you know what? It's me, it's not you, you know? And you're like, wait a minute, we were here together though.
Right.
You're laughing, Jane. I mean, you understand what I'm saying?
No, I do. And it's, I think a lot of the struggles too have been around so what society thinks we have to do too, working in corporate. And it's, you know, we in Canada as well, you got a university degree or you get an MBA and then you work for corporate and that's what you're supposed to do, right? So it's very hard sometimes to unleash your passion. And of course, be often when you're forced to do it, you have to do it, right?
Yes, absolutely. I saw you nodding away, Shakar, over there. You the one, you opened up the conversation with
your story. So basically, when I was working with in India with Suzuki, I remember the time I could not imagine myself losing a job. I was thinking so basically we get into such a comfort zone that we have a 9-to-5 job, we have a stable salary, and we get in a comfort zone and we cannot imagine ourselves without a job. But suddenly when I did not, in May, when I did not have a job, nothing was unusual. Like I always thought that what would happen if I am not unemployed, but nothing unusual happened. Like life goes on normally. So we just create a thing in our mind that job is everything. Like job is giving us stability, job is feeding our family, but that is only in the mind. But if we can create an options for ourselves, this is job is also just an option. It's just a part of life. It's not everything in life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I see you nodding over there as well, Deborah. We're having an excellent conversation today. What are your thoughts, Deborah? We are on mute.
Sorry about that. I was thinking about what Shakar said. You know, that's so important. I more personal information you probably need about me, but you know, my husband and I have been married for like 100 years, and he was always the breadwinner. You know, worked really hard to get to where he was in his career. You know, all of those things. And I had kind of taken a backseat while he was working on his stuff because I thought, you know, we had young kids and that's what, you know, the women do is raise the kids and all of these things. Well, anyway, we never thought about another option because that's just what our lives were. And that was, you know, you go through the motions of what you're supposed to be doing. And that's what we were supposed to be doing, right? But then he got sick in 2015 and was home from work for a year while he was, you know, recovering. We were figuring out what was going on and all of those things. So anyway, after the course of that year, we had already made all of the hard decisions on how to live on one income and how to, you know, and the work shift of who did what in our family changed. And he really kind of took over as lead parent while I really took over as, you know, building my business and working on some other things that I wouldn't have had time to do while I was lead parenting. And then he took over really all of the things that had to do with the house. So anyway, in 2016, when he would have been able to go back to work, I was like, no, this is great. Like, you're so much better than a lead parent. And he didn't go back to work. And so, and because of that opportunity that actually kind of, like Chad had mentioned, out of a bad situation, came this really great one where, because we had to think about it for the first time, we were able to kind of rejuggle our lives. He's a stay-at-home dad, and I was able to really build my business and work with clients all over the world in crazy time zones and all of that. But we wouldn't have had that opportunity had it not had to happen to us. And so I think what Shakar said is really important.
Now speak to the working moms out there, because what you just explained is something that many working moms suffer from, whether they're single moms or not, is that I call it mom guilt, right? I don't know if that's actually a phrase, but I say it all the time. And I speak to so many successful moms who wonder, okay, I am successful financially. I make things happen. I talk to a lot of people, but am I being a good enough mom?
Right. That's such an important question, and one that I, you know, always struggle with. And I was actually talking to another resume writer who runs a $1 million business, does really great work. Earlier today, actually, about the same topic, because, you know, we all struggle with mom guilt, right? And I feel like, you know, mom guilt comes, the guilt is never going to go away. And because, you know, whether we spend all day staring at our kids and then snap at them one time because we've stared at our kids all day, or whether, you know, we work for 10 hours a day and then have just like an hour at night of dinner time or whatever, we're always going to feel guilt, right? And so I feel like knowing that the guilt never goes away and just kind of let it go. You're never going to be 50-50. Like, you know, this whole idea of work-life balance is, in my opinion, a fallacy. It's never going to happen. You know, I work way, way more than I am with my family. That's not a great thing. I think there's a balance there. I definitely workaholic more than I am, you know, a super attentive parent. But at the same time, I'm at dinner every night with my kids at the table. Now, hats off to single mothers out there. When I say I sit down to dinner with my kids, I mean my husband cooked us a meal for and he puts it on the table and I sit down with my kids. So, you know, I'm not saying I'm cooking them this four-course meal because that's not what's happening. I literally leave my work desk and go to the kitchen table where dinner has been laid out for me. But I do, you know, really try to make an effort to sit down and have an, you know, conversation with my kids, ask them how their day was, really start that conversation. And then I spend time with them in the evening. You know, we're watching TV, we're doing something, but we're doing it together. And that way they have a couple hours of uninterrupted time where I've kind of unplugged and I'm hanging out with them. But the other 10 hours plus of the waking hours, I'm working. But I feel like when they need me, I'm there. And knowing that there's one parent, you know, because we've been blessed with this opportunity, one parent that's there for their everyday stuff is helpful. And they know it's not always me. But the other thing, and I'll say this one quick thing, is I think it's never too young to start teaching your kids about why you work. And working from home, and now so many people are doing it now, it's easier. But, you know, for a long time, it was hard for our kids to understand that anyone in our house did anything because we were all home all the time. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, it wasn't a real job, right? But now with everyone or a lot more people working from home, I think, you know, equating the work that you're doing to the money to then what that pays for in your household helps people, helps the children not resent the work because they understand why you're doing some of the things you're doing. You're not just
absolutely. Absolutely. I think we all in some way suffer from or have to balance that work-life balance. Jane, how do you find time to have a work-life balance?
You know, I want to go back to your first comment that you made about, or I think it was Deborah, we don't like get a medal for cleaning your house or we don't. So the big thing that I do with myself and my clients in my course is the first week we do this task audit and we go through all your personal and all your business tasks and how much time you spend on them in a week. And if we rate them, like, are you good at them, not good at them? Do you like them, not like them? So for myself and my clients, we look at that and we look at, first of all, your business. What are your big, where's your biggest impact and biggest income? Hopefully they're the same. And then personally, what are all the stuff you're doing and what can you eliminate? And often it's the, like you mentioned, Sharifa too, like you want to support the culinary schools and you want to give them the opportunities. And you are also feeding your family probably more nutritious food in that process, right? And yourself. So you are more fueled. So big proponent of that. Deborah as well, you are giving somebody else a business when they come to clean your home and it's keeping you accountable. So all of that I find is super important. And of course, the budget has to come into place. But I always say if you can focus and get one more client in that time that you're not cleaning your house, then you can have a more balanced life and you can be helping more people.
Absolutely. So how do you find a good work-life balance?
You know, exactly that. Every month I relook at my task audit and make sure that on that I'm not personally, I look at my stuff that I'm doing. I don't have kids yet. So it's, I don't have that, you know, that's pulling me, but of course other items. So I just find I really, since I've been an entrepreneur, just focus on looking at my tasks monthly and making sure that I'm always looking at that. And I do have a lot of freedom in my job now. So also making sure that I can live where I want to, add in the activities of where I live to make sure that gives me some balance.
You know, I think that's, I like those tips. I'll have to start doing that myself. And it's not always the kids. I think what entrepreneurs often forget is this, there's this mindset that entrepreneurs and money doesn't sleep, you know, and I have to really train my clients and even my friends and family on this whole idea of I have business hours. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Those are my business hours. I had a friend of mine, good friend of mine, you know, known her for years since high school. I built her website, helped her with her clients. She called me this Sunday and she was asking me about a partnership she just made and should she make it and everything. So I asked her, I said, so what you're doing is you're asking me for consulting advice on Sunday, right? She was like, no, I'm just giving you something to think about. And then we could talk about it tomorrow. I was like, okay. You know what I mean? So it's like, how as an entrepreneur, so I asked Chad, as an entrepreneur, how do you have a work-life balance?
Yeah, it can be tough because, you know, when you're working for yourself, and I have friends that are entrepreneurs and they're the same, they're just kind of working nonstop because it's all about you that's really making the income come in. And it's very easy to get wrapped up in that, and for entrepreneurs. And, you know, my work-life balance, one thing I try to do is if I ever get to a place where I am too busy, then I'm too busy. Like I need to look at things and get organized. Cause when I'm in the mindset of I'm too busy, that means I'm kind of not organized in what I'm doing. And I need to kind of take a step back and really look at what I'm doing. And whether that's, you know, taking a break and walking my dogs, which is like one thing that really helps me kind of break away from work a little bit. And also just setting times, like, you know what, 7 p.m. is my cutoff. And that's when I'm gonna, you know, watch Star Wars on Disney Plus or something, you know, like, and I have something that's gonna really take me out of work. Cause I can do that. Like I'll stop at 7 p.m. but then I just watch the news for 2 hours and mm-hmm. that's like work for me, you know, mm-hmm. like it's no different. And so, yeah, I definitely think pausing when I'm too busy and then really sticking to those rules I set up for myself, like 7 p.m. is the cutoff for mm-hmm. work. You'll start again tomorrow at 7 a.m. or 6 a.m. or whatever. But it's really important, 7 p.m. to cut off.
Yeah, see, I like that. Chaz said it's very important, 7 p.m. cut off. See, I do 6 p.m., but I mean 7 p.m., but I think the most important thing is that you have a cutoff, because I always think of it as that whole example of what they call it, cooking a frog. You know, you put it in the pot, and by the time the frog realizes it's on fire, it's already too late, you know, because the water starts, you know, slowly. So entrepreneurs, we burn out, but we don't realize that we're burnt out until after we've already burned out. So that's why I always like to remind entrepreneurs, take time for yourself, have a work-life balance. So even watching the news, that may be work for you, but it's also a part of your life. Shakar, how do you manage your work-life balance?
So for me, the definition of work-life balance is totally different. So I don't believe in this concept of a cutoff time. So for mm-hmm. example, if I have to work for 7 a.m. to 12 a.m. in the night, I will do that. And in the same weekday, if I don't want to work, I will not work. So for me, work-life balance is all about doing something what you want to do at that particular moment. For example, like in the afternoon, today only, I did not want to work. I was not feeling like working. So I went for a walk in the streets of Paris. So I enjoyed that, like in the weekday on Tuesday. So that's work-life balance for me, because yesterday I worked for 14 hours. So basically for me, there is no cutoff time. I work on the weekends also, but I sometimes don't work on the weekdays also. So for me, ultimately it's balanced. It's about doing something what you want to do. Like having a cutoff time, what I believe is that will usually puts me in a pressure that if I'm thinking, maybe I have a cutoff time of 7 or 6 p.m. But whether I'm thinking about work after that or not, that's more important. Like suppose you set up your cutoff time at 6 p.m. and but then after having dinner or watching TV, you're still thinking about work. That's not a cutoff time. You're still thinking about work, right? So my thing is that if I'm thinking about work, I will do the work. If I'm thinking about watching a series on Netflix, I will watch a series on Netflix.
I like you. I like you, Shakar. I'm still going to have a cutoff time, because let me tell you, this is one of the things that really helps me. Even though, see, one of the things I just recently did that I'm so proud of is I took my work emails off of my cell phone. So they're on my laptop. So I can always, even at 2 a.m., go mm-hmm. to work. But because I have set my business hours and I had a cutoff time, I reserve the right to respond to any of those emails. And I also, just like any other company, reserve the right to allow for, you know, 24 hours for mm-hmm. response time. As entrepreneurs, so often, and this is, you know, not to make this on my soapbox, but I'm gonna tell y'all some of my pet peeves since I asked so politely. But I don't like it when people send me an email and they're my, you know, clients, but they're Facebook friends, and they'll comment or they'll text, well, I saw you were on Facebook. And so that's why they, you know, contacted me at 4 a.m. I'm like, no, That's business, right? So that to me goes back to where we started this conversation an hour ago with Jane on processes, procedures. So cutoff, no cutoff, Jane?
I don't have a cutoff, nope. And I do, because just my clients are globally too in different time zones. And I'll believe in working when you're most productive. I wrote my book, Decluttering for Dummies, from 9 until midnight. That was when I really, the writing flowed for me. And I just had the most inspiration. So again, if you have a family, of course, dinner times and cutoffs for sure. But I also believe in working when you have the most fun, when you're most productive. And like Shikhar, you said, sometimes on a weekday, you can go out for lunch on the streets or whatever you'd like, or do an activity that's maybe less busy.
I like that as an idea. Chat, Shikhar said no cutoffs. What are your thoughts?
No, I think it different people, things work differently and you have to be flexible with yourself, you know, for sure. There's been times where I really like the idea of working when you work best. Like I work best in the morning, so I like to wake up early, and my most creative ideas come in the morning time, and the evening is when I start fizzling out, you know. And I like to get a good night's sleep. And I saw in a study or read something or heard it on NPR. But it basically takes your mind about 2 hours after you stop working to like settle down. And so that's why I like the cutoff for me, because I like to get to bed between 9 and 10, and like, so I can wake up early and be fresh. But I know plenty of people that are night owls and get their best work done, you know, at night, and they're not morning people. And, you know, they will sleep a little later, which I think, you know, as an entrepreneur, that's a great luxury that we have, that we can be flexible with our schedules that way. I'm not a believer in like, there's only one way to do something. So definitely I agree with both.
I agree with both as well, because I think it's about finding what works for you. And that's one of the things when we were talking earlier about employees, that I think in this ever-changing society that people have learned is that employees work at different times and learn different ways. Like for me, I'm kind of like you, Chad, even though I go to sleep way earlier than you. Like my friends are like, are you 90, Sharifa? Because about 6 p.m., like, I'm sleeping, I'm out. But about 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm wired, wanting to call Deborah, like, hey, Deborah. Deborah's like, it is 2 a.m., do not call me, you know? But I always tell people, this is one of the things that I learned, I come up with all of my ideas at 3 a.m., but I've learned not to put them out into the world until at least 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, because Deborah's laughing. Deborah knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, waiting until, you know, I'm one of those people that I'm like Chad. I fall like, I like a good night's sleep. I'm worthless without like 9 hours of sleep, but I'm also not a night owl. And so I need, you know, I have to get work done in the morning, but I also, because I need like 9 hours of sleep, the morning doesn't happen until 7:30 or so. So when overachievers like Sharifa send me things at 2 a.m., it doesn't get seen.
Don't tell on me, Deborah. Don't tell on me that we've been emailing all week. You know what I mean? That's what I have to do. My emails at 2 a.m. so I can sleep all day.
I wish, that's one of those things I really wish that I could really, you know, and maybe Jane can annoy me into submission to start getting up earlier, because I feel like it's making a difference in my day.
Then you just coined a new phrase. You're going to annoy her into submission, Jane?
No, I'm not really an early bird. And there's a lot of people, everybody asks me, what's my morning routine? Is it organized? And I'm like, I don't really have a morning routine. The night before I plan what I'm going to do. Can I sleep in, or is it going to be like, so I'm not a big, you know, the 5 a.m. club. I've read in the book, and it's, they say the most successful people, yeah, get up at 5 a.m. But then I know a lot of entrepreneurs that are super successful that sleep in and do work at night. So I say you need to listen to your body too. And what is the most optimal for you?
Yes. What's the most optimal for you, Shikhar?
So for me, I am flexible. I'm a kind of a morning person. I wake up at 7 a.m. But I've been blessed to sleep less. Like I usually sleep not more than 6 hours. So my body works better. Like if I rather I have a problem if I sleep more than 6 hours. So that's why, like for me, I'm very flexible that if I have worked till late last night, I can sleep till 9 a.m. also. But if I have slept like 11 p.m., then I can get up at 6 a.m. also. So in that case, I'm pretty flexible. But and that's why, like that's why my work routine is work best when you're the most productive, because if you are kind of a flexible in your working style, then I think you can give your best shot, like whenever you feel like it. So you don't have to, I don't believe in having a particular schedule, like, okay, I'll go to bed at 11, I'll wake up at 6, I'll wake up at 7. It's like whenever your body works best.
Shakar, you have this kind of easygoing, you know, laissez-faire, lackadaisical. I might show up, I might not. I might be at the office, I might not. I want to go work with you.
that's the advantage of working for yourself. Like when I was working like in India, I used to get up at 7, I used to come back at 9 or 10, then used to go to gym, and then there was a proper routine, there was a schedule, which was not even decided by myself. That was decided by my organization, that was decided by my other routines. So it was a fixed routine. But now I decide my own schedule. So that's the best part.
I think that's what they call that financial freedom. That's exactly. What everyone wants, the freedom to be able to do what they want to do, when they want to do it. Exactly. And then somehow when we have that freedom, we schedule shows at 8 o'clock in the morning when we should be asleep. I don't know how that works. That was my brilliant idea. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Chad.
Oh, thank you. You know, I'd like to say that, you know, I always say about PR that it's not brain surgery, that like many people could do PR, which is not really true. It's not for everyone, but it's not that hard. But it's not that hard for me because I do it and it's very time consuming. So I do help a lot of small businesses who, you know, need PR services. And one thing I like to do with my clients is I have them write a press release on themselves. Hmm. Like it's kind of a self-help a little bit, but it's interesting to see like what people think of themselves that they want to project out. And because that's all we're really doing in PR for your brand and your business, but it's interesting to take a look at yourself and kind of write that press release for yourself to see what comes out of that. So I think that's really interesting. I love building things, and that's why I love working with other entrepreneurs, because I love building up the business and getting everything consistent with the branding and the messaging and all that. And when I was in corporate America, a lot of that was done. I was doing it around special campaigns, but not for the root of the business. So I'm really enjoying this new consulting business this year and the opportunity to work with a lot of entrepreneurs and small businesses. I actually find it more exciting than the big guys. So
could you have more flexibility? I think that's wonderful. I think I'll have to send you some of my press releases and get your take on how I saw myself, because yeah. I love me. <That's good. laughs> Thank you, Chad. Shakar, what do you have for us?
So what I want to say is that we all know that I'm not undermining that the distress you must be in because of the COVID situation, but we can all use this time to find ourselves. What I mean by finding ourselves is like 6 months ago, trust me when I'm saying this, I have never written an article in my entire life. In my 29, I have never written an article. And in last 6 months, I have written almost more than 200 articles. Like I never thought that people would love my writing. This was something that I discovered in the last 6 months because of the situation. This situation helped me. This situation gave me time to at least think about it, what I'm liking. So now if I have to, I know that in the coming future, if I have to do something, I would be doing in the content writing space. Before that, I never thought content writing would be my thing, right? And that's why I started the strategystory.com. And because when I'm writing the business strategies and simple storytelling, I realize that I'm such a good storyteller. Like, I can make stories on the go.
Where's my story, Shikhar? I forgot. Where's my 30-second story?
So, okay, here is your 30. I've already thought about it. Your 30-second story. It's Sharifa connecting the minds and the hearts by this tagline. What we have done in the last 1 hour, we have all shared our personal stories through our heart, right? We have connected with each other. We know each other, what the other person is. But in that connecting with the heart, we have shared some mindful things. We have shared some things that are very important to know in our personal lives and our business lives, right? So it's all about your show, your personality is all about connecting the people, connecting the hearts and connecting the minds. And that's what you are all about. And that's what this show is all about.
Oh, that was so good. You're about to make me cry. That was so beautiful. Thank you. I'll incorporate that into some more things that I do. Thank you. Jane, what do you have for us?
Okay, so my main impact and how I really want to help mostly women entrepreneurs, what I help is get them their back end of their business organized. And it's so important because we talked about burnout for a long time here. And I want to help you avoid that to reduce the overwhelm, get focused on where your biggest passion is and help you help more people. So my 6-step program, it's on organizedjane.com. You can apply for it. I have a free webinar. You can also buy my books, but the program really does help you with 6 simple steps, get organized. Everybody needs it if they're an entrepreneur to be able to scale and reduce that overwhelm.
And the website?
OrganizeJane.com. And follow me on Instagram. I have a big, big platform and lots of fun women on there and men too, chat and but it's very fun lifestyle. And that's why I really, my personality comes out too.
Thank you, Jay. Deborah, take us out.
All right. Well, I definitely need to hire Shikhar for resume writing because that was beautiful. I wanted to say, kind of dovetailing off with something you said earlier, Sharifa, I help my clients really tell their stories in resume writing because, you know, for most of us, it's not comfortable to talk about ourselves or talk about what we do best or say, you know, look at all these things I'm amazing at. Let me tell you how great I am. It's really uncomfortable for most people. And so for my clients, I do that for them. I do a deep dive interview, whether it's for a resume or a LinkedIn profile, and whether the LinkedIn profile is for job searching, or if you're an entrepreneur or a small business owner or trying to grow leads or as a thought leader in your space, you know, regardless of what you're trying to do on the platform, you need to be able to highlight yourself and your skills and your accomplishments. And that's really uncomfortable for a lot of people. And so I do a deep dive interview with my clients, really dig into their work, really understand the context of their work, their value, their accomplishments, what they're trying to get out there, whether it be for job searching or for entrepreneurship and lead generation. And then I write it in a way that takes all the uncomfortableness out of it because it's subjective and it's not about me. So I'm not personally invested and it makes it a lot more comfortable for people. So I tell people my job exists because most people literally hate resume writing and I have actual dreams about formatting documents. So I need a hobby. But that's what I love to do. So I also, for anyone impacted by COVID, I did put together a list of resources, free resume writing templates, and job search coaching information. Feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. My name is Deborah Boggs, or on my website at dsprocoaching.com. And I'm happy to share those resources with you.
Absolutely. I'm going to contact you and need some updates to my LinkedIn profile. Make sure I put the right message out with the right words so I attract the right people. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show doesn't mean you're not important. We still need your support. We still need you to go ahead and share the show. But please don't just watch the show. Please don't just share the show. Please support our guests. They've been here today providing you with so much valuable information. Visit their websites, follow them on social media, reach out to them. And when you contact them, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to pick up your tickets to my New Year, New You 2-day teleconference coming up on December 29th and 30th. Or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.